Before I begin with the message, I want to share a word for some folks here this morning, and I know you came in here not feeling this, not sensing this, but God wants to encourage you this morning. The Lord wants to encourage you. And you know who you are. You came in here tired. You came in here weary. You came in here maybe even hopeless or without a lot of hope. The Lord wants to encourage you this morning. Those who wait on the Lord, those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. And they will run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint. Don't grow tired. Trust the Lord. You may be a teenager. You may be a senior citizen. You may be somebody in between. I don't know who you are. The Lord just said there's someone here that needs this word this morning. Probably more than one. He goes on to say this. Let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season, we shall reap if we do not lose heart. The Lord is telling you this morning, don't lose heart. Don't lose heart. He's with you. If we do not lose heart, therefore, stay the course. Stay faithful. Trust Him. Trust Him this morning. God wants you to be encouraged, not discouraged. Well, good morning again.
Good morning.
Glad you're here this morning. I'm starting a new series today. It's called A Dangerous Life. A Dangerous Life. And I want to talk to you today about becoming dangerous. Becoming dangerous. And I'll explain that to you in a little bit as we go through. But that doesn't mean reckless. Doesn't mean silly, crazy, unstable. You see, Jesus didn't die on the cross for us just to be passive, quiet, nonchalant believers. He died on the cross to make us dangerous for Him, for the kingdom. If you will, turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 12. We're going to begin there today. Genesis chapter 12. One verse out of Genesis chapter 12. And let me say this before we read the scripture. Following Jesus is not meant to be a walk in the park. Many people are misled or have misconceived ideas about what a relationship with Jesus is. See, the truth, oftentimes, it's more like walking a loose, rickety, hanging bridge over a 100-foot ravine. might ask, then why does it seem so boring at times? Well, here's the answer. Because you make it that way. We don't live the way Jesus designed it. He designed life to be lived dangerously for him. You see, a dangerous life doesn't mean jump off the cliff and see what happens. But it does mean taking risk by trusting and obeying him. Genesis 12, verse 1. Now the Lord said to Abraham, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. Boom. End of sentence. See, Abraham didn't know where he was going. God just said, I'll show you. But for now, just pack up and leave. Leave where you are, leave your family, and leave your country. Now, how's that for going on a mission trip? In 2008, I had the blessing and opportunity of going to India and with some of our ministry mission partners that we've supported through the years. But, you know, I knew when I was going, I had plane reservations and boarding passes. I had flight connections. I even knew the city I was going to, at least where I was going to land. But Abraham didn't know any of that. God just said, go. Go. I'll show you in due time. So what does a dangerous life in Christ look like? Well, it looks like stepping out in faith. It may look like doing a mission project. 10-mile bike ride, right, Gracie? Actually, it turned into a 10-mile race. It may look like something different. It may look like volunteering in Kids Corral or Kids Church. It may look like sharing your faith with a coworker or a classmate when the opportunity comes. Or it may look like disagreeing with the crowd, humbly but boldly, when you know they're going against biblical principles. Maybe stepping out of your comfort zone, joining a life group. For some, that's living dangerously. Making new relationships. Maybe it's taking notes in the service, trying to soak up every word to fuel your spirit. You know, I saw one of these. I gave you these note pages and try to give you plenty of room to take notes, because some of you write big, some of you write a lot of notes. But I saw one of these about a month ago, one of my messages, a note page from someone here, a 10-year-old young lady. And it was full. And it was verbatim. It could have been my outline. I thought she'd copied my outline. 10 years old, sitting in a service, soaking it up. Amen. Living dangerously. Just saying, feed me, God. Front and back, full. Written on the sides, too. Filled it up. She needed 2 pages. We need to live dangerously. It may be stepping out of your comfort zone. It may mean just during a service, when our prayer time comes, getting up and punching the devil in the mouth by letting someone pray over you. Getting up out of your seat and going and letting someone say, pray for me. I need prayer. Instead of letting the enemy continue to harass you and hold you back. Matthew 14. The Apostle Peter lived dangerously. He lived dangerously all the time. He lived dangerously for Jesus. Verse 22, beginning in verse 22. Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves. For the wind was contrary. It was going against them. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It's a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I. Do not be afraid." And so Peter answered, and he said, "Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water." And so he, Jesus, said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why do you doubt?" And when they got on the boat, the wind ceased. When Jesus said, "Come," Peter had a choice to make. He had a choice to make. He could stay in the boat, play it safe, or he could be obedient and trust. Trust that Jesus knew what he was doing. And believing with Jesus that with Jesus the impossible is possible. Peter had to choose to get out of his comfort zone in the boat and experience the dangerous life with Christ. You know, when he stepped out of the boat, I don't believe this happened. I don't think he stepped out of the boat and sank and came back up. I think he stepped out of the boat onto the water like this, with his eyes on the Lord, and he began to walk on the water. And he began to walk toward Jesus. But then he began to see the waves. He took his eyes off Jesus and began to see the waves. And I think this is what started to happen. He started to sink. And he said, "Oh God, save me, Lord." And Jesus pulled him up into the boat. You see, as long as he was focused on Jesus, living dangerously was what? Just like just walking on water. Impossible? Yes, with man, but not with Jesus. As long as he trusted, Jesus knew what he was doing. But when he took his eyes and looked at the situation, looked at the waves and the water, he began to sink. But here's the deal. He got out of the boat. He knew Peter, as far as we know, is the only other human on the earth that knew what it was like to walk on water. The rest of them in the boat didn't. You know, I bet days later when they were cooking fish or walking through the roads, I bet they were saying, "Peter, what was that like? How'd it feel? How'd you do that? What'd you think?" They didn't live dangerously, but Peter did. You see, and there lies the problem in why Christianity gets boring for many people. For many Christians, they don't want to give up their comfort zone. They don't want to get out of the boat. But no, that's not it. We're supposed to go where we've never been. We're supposed to do what we've never done. So we expand the kingdom of God on earth. You see, following Jesus is not dull and boring unless you make it that way. Unless we make it that way. See, it's supposed to be a dangerous adventure with Christ. That's our challenge. That's our challenge, church. We had a great pep rally with 5 revival services. But what now after revival? So how do we become dangerous for Christ? That's what I really want to talk about today, becoming dangerous for Christ. Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8, just a little farther forward. How do we become dangerous? What does it look like becoming dangerous? Verse 35. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake, Jesus is speaking here, and the Gospels will save it. Whoever loses his life for my sake, for Jesus' sake, in the gospel, will save it. Boy, that's a kind of an oxymoron, isn't it? If I save my life, I'll lose it. If I lose my life, I'll save it. See, here's the thing, church. We need to quit living with a purpose just to arrive safely at death. That's what a lot of us are doing. We're living life safely, just playing it safe so we can arrive at death safely. Makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? So you say, Pastor, dangerous how? Jesus died on the cross to make us dangerous, not make us safe. How? To who? Dangerous to Satan, the enemy. Amen. You see, the devil is not concerned one bit with passive closet Christians who never share their faith, who are afraid to stand on biblical principle, and who don't serve or do anything to build the kingdom. You see, but when a person becomes dangerous enough to lead someone to Christ, they're expanding the kingdom. And that's very dangerous to Satan. So what makes us dangerous? The average Christian in the U.S., the average Christian, I want you to don't bypass that word Christian. The average Christian in the U.S. is in church twice a month on a good month. Others even less. Most rarely open their Bibles. Now, they do keep them in the back seat of the car so they can carry them into church on Sunday. And then after church, they can go out and put it in the back seat again. Because, I mean, after all, you don't want to show up to church without a Bible. And I know electronic devices, but I use mine a lot, too. I go to my men's study. I don't carry my Bible a lot. I use my phone. But you get the point. They rarely use them. Many get spiritual on Sunday, but Monday through Saturday, their day-to-day lifestyle have little, if anything, to do with God. Now, that'll help you arrive safely at death. But this scripture, whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospels will save it. What are you going to do with that? We can't ignore it. See, a dangerous life says this. A dangerous life says, I'm not going to be a Sunday morning Christian. I'm not going to sit on the bench at this station because I got my ticket, waiting for the train to come and take me to heaven. A dangerous life says, I'm going to follow Jesus no matter what. Amen. No matter what. No matter where. And that's going to be my lifestyle. My lifestyle. Jesus said, the time has come. The kingdom is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Jesus said that. If you're taking notes, Mark 1. When he came to earth, listen, when Jesus came to earth, you know what the spiritual atmosphere was like? Dead religion. A lot like it is today. For most, it was just rituals and rules. No life, no joy, and no peace. Jesus came, and in a nutshell, he said, it's time to get the world right side up. It's time for people to be transformed. It's time for people to move from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God. It's time. You see, he was starting a dangerous revival. When Jesus came, He started a revival, and it was a dangerous revival. A dangerous revival. He was teaching people to live a dangerous life of radical, radical obedience to God from that point on. And as Christians, that's how we're supposed to live, in radical obedience to God. See, God designed us to be like Jesus. We were created to take risk, to live dangerously. All of that in obedience to Him. So here's your first point this morning, what I want you to see. Living dangerously simply means obeying and following God. Living dangerously means obeying and following God. And a little side note, and trusting Him with the outcome. You see, this doesn't mean being daredevils who do take crazy risks just to prove how spiritual you are. The risk, when you're living dangerously, obeying and following God, the risk is always God's idea. And if it's not, then you're on your own. We're just a bunch of mavericks doing our own thing. And that's partly what's wrong with the church today. People like to be mavericks and do their own thing instead of obeying and following God. So the risk, here's what I want you to see, your next point. The risk is not what we do, it's the outcome. The risk is the outcome. Why? Because we don't know what the outcome is going to be, do we? Peter didn't know what the outcome was going to be when he stepped out of the boat. Abraham didn't know what the outcome was going to be when he packed up and left. You see, that's the risk. It's not what we do. It's the outcome. And when we're obeying and following and trusting, we don't know what the outcome is going to be. So the risk is just stepping out. Now, for most of us, we know what's going to happen today, tomorrow, next week, and beyond, right? Because we plan it on our calendars. But do we really know? James, back of the Bible. James chapter 14, chapter 4. James chapter 4. I have a calendar on my phone and on my computer. I'm not really sure why, because everything I put on it gets changed within 24 hours, or added or subtracted. But that's how we live, don't we? We plan our life out. We plan the outcome. Look at verse 13, James chapter 4. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell, make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It's a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or do that. If the Lord wills. Any questions? No, I'm not telling you to throw your calendars away. Just don't let them rule your life. See, when Jesus had called the 12 disciples together, He gave them power and authority. You know, I love the way God puts things together. Chris and I sometimes talk about things ahead on what I'm preaching on and stuff, but with the revival and coming out of the revival and just doing a solo shot last week about after revival, we didn't really talk about ahead of time before he had time to plan the songs. But these songs, man, as we were going through them and the verses and the things that they were pointing out, I mean, they just match up with the message. And even when I was praying this morning, I didn't realize it. And we sang a song. It's like, wow. I like it when God does His thing. See, when He called the disciples together, He gave them power and authority to drive out demons and heal diseases, the disciples. And then he sent them out to preach the kingdom and to heal the sick. You know, kind of like a little test run. Well, guess what? That test run for them turned into a lifestyle for the disciples, a dangerous lifestyle. Well, are we any different than the disciples? Well, a couple of you believe we're not. Why should we be? They were just men. They were just mortal men. Goofy, messed up, tripped over their tunic and made messes. What's the difference? They lived dangerously, and so should we. I want to give you three keys to a dangerous life for Christ. Three keys. The first one is our spiritual calling. Our spiritual calling. You see, every born-again believer is called to turn the world upside down. Man, you all are getting quiet. No, I'm not Daniel Couch, but I'm using the same book he used.
Amen.
I hope it's because you're being challenged. But when you get challenged, you need to come out of the corner. Our spiritual calling, every born-again believer, young ladies, young men, seniors, in between, you're called to turn your world upside down. It's not just for pastors and elders and evangelists or apostles. Your calling is the same as my calling. Do you hear me? Your calling is the same as my calling. Exactly. Exactly. Now, my gifting may be different, but that's why the gifts are to work in unison. Together. But the calling is the same. The calling is the same for everybody. You and I are called to turn our world upside down. The calling is to obey God and to live dangerously. Now here's the good part. Here's the good part. He doesn't expect us to live dangerously in our own strength. In our own strength. Along with the call, He equips us. In Luke, it says, He gave them power and authority. Power and authority. The first key to a dangerous life is our spiritual calling. If we don't get that, nothing else matters. We miss it. We miss the whole boat. Second key to a dangerous life is our spiritual equipment. Our spiritual equipment. You see, we don't step out in our own abilities, in our abilities and in our wisdom. Because if we do, it doesn't work out too well. At least it doesn't for me. Now, it might be a little different for you, but I get a pretty good train wreck going when I step out in my ability and my wisdom. You see, the word power means spiritual ability. Authority means the right to exercise that power. And He gave power and authority. And God gives us power and authority. He gives us His delegated power and authority. He gives us delegated power and He authorizes us to use it according to His directions. Not our own rabbit chasing, not brilliant ideas. His directions. And the result is people's lives are changed. Before Jesus went back to heaven, after His resurrection, He gave instructions. Turn to Matthew 28. Matthew 28. Still trying to get this new Bible broke in. Pages are still sticking. Matthew 28. Let's look at verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." Did you get that? All authority was given to Jesus, has been given to Jesus in heaven and on earth. "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." You see, Jesus was telling his disciples, he was telling the disciples that he was transferring his power and his authority to them. And to all those who choose to follow him. How? How? Well, it tells us in Acts. It says in the book of Acts, "And you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be..." Now get it, it's not for all the bells and whistles. They come with it as he sees fit to give you. But we miss that. We want to go from right there and stop there and jump into Pentecost. But let me finish in Acts 1:8. "You shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Then you will be my witnesses in Judea, Samaria, and all the parts of the world." You see, that's why he transferred his power. And that's why he transfers his power to believers. So we'll be his witnesses. So we'll live dangerously. Living dangerously is being a witness for Christ. Not just sitting back and saying, "Well, I wish, I don't believe that. I don't believe that. I wish they wouldn't say that. I disagree with them, but I better not say anything." That guy's using God's name in vain, but I shouldn't tell him that it offends me. No, we need to live dangerously. Live dangerously. Not ugly, not arrogant. Live like Jesus did. Somebody's using God's name in vain. "Excuse me, would you please not do that? That really hurts me. It offends me." I mean, what's it going to do? Cuss you out? Well, he's already cussing. But it might be something just simple as that that pierces his heart and convicts him. Because I know when one gentleman years and years ago did that to a good friend of his, it changed his life. And the guy he spoke to about using God's name in vain ended up being the very first man I baptized in Heart Cry. Pictures hanging in the lobby. Third key to living dangerously. Our spiritual assignment. Our spiritual assignment. You see, every Christ follower is assigned to use God's power and God's authority. Use it. You see, we have a message. We have a message that people need and want to hear. They want to hear that God can redeem them, that God can restore them and change their lives. God can get them off drugs. God can restore their marriage. God can turn their world right side up. That's our assignment. To have our lives changed first. Don't miss that. Our families, our relationships, our lifestyles changed. Attitudes toward work, money, possessions changed. And when God comes in, listen, when God comes in, nothing stays the same. Might want to write that down. That's pretty good. When God comes in, nothing stays the same. There's a scripture that says that. It just says it in a different way. I kind of like that. I made it up, but it matches the scripture. When God comes in, nothing stays the same. Well, what's that scripture? Well, why don't you go find it? No, it says, behold, if anyone is in Christ, the old is new. All things are new. The old is gone. That's our assignment. That's how it's supposed to be. And based on scripture, I'm going to give you four parts to the mindset of a dangerous Christian. Four parts to the mindset of a dangerous Christian. First one, number one, travel light. Travel light. Don't get too comfortable. He told Abraham, get up, pack up, get out of here, go. Leave your family, leave your country. Travel light. Jesus told his disciples, don't take anything. No food, no money, not two sets of clothes. You know, when my wife and I travel, we have three suitcases, four carry-ons, her Bible bag, her purse, and a book. That's just when we're flying. I mean, when we're driving, forget it. No, you can't go with us. There's no room. See? We agree on that at least. Drives me crazy, but it's an adventure. See, in America, we've gotten too comfortable. When God says, take a step of faith, we ask, well, what are we going to eat? Jesus says, trust me. Amen. Where are we going to stay? Jesus says, trust me. I'm not saying sell your house and stop buying groceries. But I am saying many Christians have developed a false sense of security. Turn to Luke chapter 12. Go to Luke chapter 12. Right on time, fire department. Luke chapter 12, verse 15. You with me?
Yes.
And he said to them, take heed and beware of covetousness. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. The truth is, that's how many measure life. I've lived in the business world. I know what it's about. It's all about the net worth. Is it okay to have stuff? Of course. Of course it is. The problem arises when stuff has us. When Jesus says go, we may not know what's next, but we do know God's going to take care of us. Amen. He promises that. See, 11 years ago when we were called to start this church, a few months after that, he said to me, this adventure is not part-time. Quit your job. And I said, but that wasn't the plan, Lord. I'm going to work one year, the first year, and get things going. No, now, quit your job. So I left triple, six-figure income and walked out the door. And when I walked out the door, it stopped. 3.5 years, no income, but we never missed a meal, and our bills were paid. You see, a dangerous life is not a boring life, folks. A dangerous life for Christ is not a boring life. Don't get too comfortable by being too attached to things. Mindset number two. Don't be surprised. Don't be surprised. Expect spiritual warfare. Listen, do you think Satan wants you living dangerously? And when you step out and say, I'm going to live dangerously, do you think he's just going to say, well, okay, I'll leave you alone? Mm-mm. No, doesn't work that way. Jesus told his disciples, if people don't receive you, shake the dust off your feet on the way out of town. He said, if they persecuted you, If they persecuted me, they will you. If they reject your message, move on to others who will receive it. You see, warfare is real. And it's real because this stuff is about life and death. Men, women, teenagers, children, their eternal destination is at stake. See, becoming dangerous is not a game. We shouldn't be surprised when we encounter resistance to the gospel. But it should make us more determined. You have any idea how much warfare was going on before, during, and after the revival services? I wasn't surprised. In fact, I considered it when we scheduled it. During the revival, Karen and I were at 2 hospitals and 3 doctors in the first 4 days. No, it wasn't coincidence. It was intense warfare. And it was real. Some of you experienced it. The enemy threw things at you left and right from all directions to keep you from hearing what God had for you. Have you ever tried to share your faith with someone and their response was, don't start that Jesus stuff with me. I don't want to hear it. Of course. Should that surprise you? No. See, when Jesus came to the Sea of Galilee, there were 2 men there that were full of demons. And he drove those demons out. He cast them out. Drove them into a herd of pigs. And the hogs ran off the cliff into the water and drowned. Well, that created some excitement. The whole town came out to see what was going on. And when they saw what had happened, you know what they said? Jesus, leave us. Get out of here. Leave us. They weren't concerned about the 2 souls that had been delivered, that had been living in torment for years, that had been set free. No, this guy lost his whole herd of hogs. Get out of here. You're shaking things up. A dangerous life is not boring. So Jesus, you know what he did? He didn't argue with them. He didn't discuss it with them. He told his disciples, let's go. And he got in a boat and left. Listen to me and hear this. You can't, and I can't, change another person's heart. Can't do it. Not every time that you witness will someone, are they going to say, oh great, yeah, wow, give me Jesus. In Luke 9:6, it says the disciples set out. They set out. You know, that's a big hurdle for the church today. Too many Christians want to play it safe. They hear the instructions. They know they're called. They know they have power and authority. But they never set out. They leave church each week with head knowledge. But it doesn't make the 18-inch drop to the heart. You see, a dangerous mindset is this: expect oppositional warfare and keep going. That's the mindset of a dangerous Christian. The third mindset: follow through. Follow through. Good intentions don't count. It's one thing to be encouraged and enthused by a revival or a church service even. But all that is useless if we don't do something with it. We have to set out. You're called. You have God's delegated authority. You're equipped by the Holy Spirit. Are you going to play it safe? Are you going to follow through with what you have? Are you going to do something with it? And this is the fourth mindset for a dangerous life in Christ. Follow Jesus. Follow Jesus and live dangerously. But remember this, as you look at that screen, follow Jesus comes first. If you're not following Jesus and you try to become dangerous for him, you're going to make a lot of messes. Trust me, you're going to make a lot of messes. See, as you follow Jesus, he equips you. So you're ready. And when he opens the door, or he gives the assignment, you're ready. You're not running around out there like a loose cannon. Too many people choose comfort and security. Worship team, will you come up? Too many people choose comfort and security. Listen to me. Too many people choose comfort and security over passionate living for Christ. Passionate living. They fear risk and failure, so they play it safe. They might get offended if I talk to them about Jesus. Well, that's true. They might get offended if you talk to them about Jesus. But it's also true that they might go to hell if you don't. Hello? Got quiet. Didn't think about that, did you? See, we always think about offending or getting offended. We don't think about there's a heaven and a hell. And that's real. And every living, breathing person is going one place or the other. Forever. Too many people choose comfort and security. I hope you'll hang on to that. They might get offended if I talk to them about Jesus, but they might go to hell if I don't. Put your notes away. I'm almost finished. I don't have a watch on, but I just decided I don't need to preach with a watch. Mine's getting repaired. Somebody came up to me before one of the revival services and gave me a watch. I could send mixed messages, couldn't it? I wear it, except when I'm up here, it bugs me. I want you to focus on Jesus right now. Focus your attention on him. For most of you, that may mean bowing your head and closing your eyes. Not looking at who's on stage or what's going on up here. Just focus on him, however you need to do that. And I want you to listen. Becoming a dangerous follower of Jesus is risky. But as a Christian, you can either risk your life or waste it. You can either risk your life or waste it. In Luke, the Bible says after the disciples' first ministry trip, they gave Jesus an account of all they had done. Do you know we're going to do the same thing one day at the judgment seat of Christ? He's not going to ask you your net worth. He's not going to ask you how long you greeted or ushered at church. He's not going to ask you any of those things. He's going to ask you what you did with what he gave you. Power and authority. He's going to ask you, how many lives did you touch using what I gave you? Jesus didn't die to make our life safe, easy, and comfortable, so you could be a Sunday-only Christian. He died so you could live the same exciting, adventurous life that he lived on earth. He died to make you a dangerous disciple of Christ. And so I ask you today, church, what are you going to do with what he has given you? What are you going to do? What have you been doing with it? Maybe you're here and you've never given your life to Jesus. That's where you start. You have to start there. That's the starting point with God, Jesus. If you haven't, why don't you do that this morning? Why don't you put your faith in Christ? Why don't you ask Him to forgive you? Repent of your sins. That means turn away from them. Make a determined decision to turn away and to give your life to Him. You Christians that have been playing it safe in here, playing it safe out there, playing it safe at work and home, just playing it safe so you get to death safely. What are you going to do with what He's given you? Altar's open. It's always open. What are you going to do with what He's given you? There's going to be some people around the auditorium that will pray with you in the back and the aisles. Why don't you just start living dangerously and let somebody pray for you? I know you need prayer. Well, how do you know that, Pastor? Well, sometimes God tells me. The Holy Spirit whispers that to me. And besides that, you know how I know it? Most of the time you write it down on your prayer request. But you won't get dangerous enough to step out and let someone pray for you here. You let the devil keep you glued to your seat. Is revival over? Yes, it is. The question is transformation taking place? I can't answer that for you, but it'll be answered right here at Heartcry in this place today and the days and weeks ahead. What are you going to do with what He's given you? Need prayer, if you need Jesus, let us help you. Let us pray. The Bible tells us to do that. Some of you need to make a commitment this morning, a commitment to live dangerously, a commitment to start using what God has given you, power and authority. Do it now.